We begin, first of all, with COVID-19, where the numbers are still heading in the wrong direction in North Carolina and here in Orange County, too, where Ephesus Elementary School is requiring masks again for the rest of the school year after confirming 27 COVID cases in the last 2 weeks. New data from state health officials show case numbers actually dipped a little bit last week, but hospitalizations continue to rise, nowhere near the levels we saw during the Delta wave in the fall or the Omicron wave in January, but still 2.5 times higher than we saw at the end of April just a month ago. We're also continuing to see a spike in COVID particles found in wastewater. That's an early signal of future trends, and that number has doubled over the last 2 weeks. Right now, Orange County is in the CDC's green zone with low community transmission, but Durham County right next door is in the orange zone with high transmission. State health officials are urging everyone to keep following those basic precautions. Mask up when you're in crowded indoor spaces and stay up to date on your COVID shots. Other health news, the NNO is reporting Wake Med Hospitals and United Healthcare insurers missed a Tuesday deadline to reach an agreement on a new contract. So if you get your insurance through United Healthcare, Wake Med Hospitals and outpatient clinics are now out of network for you, at least for now. Negotiations are still ongoing. Meanwhile, in the General Assembly, a lot of action this week in the state Senate. Yesterday, the Senate signed off on a controversial parents' rights bill that's drawn heavy criticism because it would ban discussion of LGBTQ topics in early grades and could require schools to out students to their parents against their will. That bill passed on party lines. It heads now to the House, but it faces a likely governor's veto if it ultimately gets that far. The Senate is also set to vote today on a health care bill that would expand Medicaid to 600,000 North Carolinians. That one has bipartisan support, but faces longer odds in the House. Another bill with bipartisan support would legalize medical marijuana in North Carolina. The Senate is set to begin a voting on that bill today, but it too is less likely to pass in the House. Over to Chatham County now, where the town of Pittsboro has been facing a serious issue for many years, rapid growth that's put a strain on the town's water and wastewater system. Now town officials are considering a radical way to address that issue. They're beginning talks with the city of Sanford to merge their water and wastewater systems together into one. Here's Pittsboro Mayor Cindy Perry.
You know, municipal government moves very slowly sometimes, but it is getting ready to move very fast. One of the things that we're looking into is a regionalization of our water and sewer capacities, and the city of Sanford and our board, and to a certain extent the county as well, are going to be looking at joining together. It's sort of an agreement to begin to look at an agreement, but that was also passed last night at the board meeting. And this merger or regionalization of utilities has become something of a hallmark now in North Carolina because of the expense involved in high-tech water and sewer plants. So we're looking forward to our relationship with Sanford and to be able to offer more development opportunities for our people here in the Pittsboro area.
That's Mayor Cindy Perry speaking with 97 on the Hill last week. Closer to home, Orange County commissioners are set to meet tonight at 7 in the Witted Building in Hillsborough for another work session and public hearing on next year's budget. County Manager Bonnie Hammersley will deliver a presentation on her budget plan, then members of the public will have their chance to weigh in. Commissioners will also discuss the county's COVID policy regulating large gatherings, and they'll get a presentation from Go Triangle on expenditures from the failed Durham-Orange Light Rail project. Get the full agenda online at orangecountync.gov. Now to campus, where there's good news for chicken-loving UNC students. Starting in the fall, there will be a Bojangles location inside the Carolina Union building, replacing a Wendy's. No word yet on whether that location will be participating in Carolina basketball's 100-point biscuit deal, but if they don't, expect massive demonstrations. Staying with campus news, congratulations to Cynthia Bulick, a professor in the UNC School of Medicine. She just received a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Academy of Eating Disorders for her research into the genetic causes of eating disorders and her work to advance effective treatment. And a big step forward yesterday for UNC's Carolina Across 100 initiative, a new program to expand education and employment opportunities for young adults in each of North Carolina's 100 counties. Yesterday, UNC announced plans to begin work in 37 of those counties, working with 13 different teams. That includes Orange County, where UNC will be teaming up with the Summer Careers Academy. Finally, we take a look back to the past. Nearly 118 years ago, an Orange County sheriff's deputy lost his life on the job. Still to this day, the only Orange County sheriff's deputy ever to die in the line of duty. But just a few weeks ago, he was finally recognized and remembered on a national level. 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell has the story.
Duncan Joseph Nichols was shot and killed in 1904 while trying to serve a warrant near Hillsboro. Alicia Stemper, the public information officer for the Orange County Sheriff's Office, said she became interested in Nichols' history since he remains the office's only casualty while in the line of duty. While there was a local recognition around the time that Stemper joined the office, she decided to learn more about the deputy and how his history was preserved.
Some years ago, they presented some surviving family members with a plaque, you know, recognizing that Deputy Nichols had died in the service of the county. But he wasn't on the National Memorial to Fallen Officers, and he wasn't on the Officer Down webpage. And I was curious about his life and his service.
With the help of several local libraries and one of the deputy's great-grandsons, Stemper gathered up enough information to submit an application to the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial in Washington, D.C. The stone monument honors thousands of people who died while on duty. And this past fall, the Orange County Sheriff's Office learned Nichols' name would be etched in stone on the memorial and read aloud during a ceremony for Peace Officers Memorial Day. The annual candlelight vigil was held on Friday, May 13th at the National Mall. Stemper attended with two of Nichols' descendants and another sheriff's office representative. She described the ceremony as, quote, beautiful, with performances of bagpipes and trumpets, tolling of bells, and readings of 619 new names added to the memorial this year, including Nichols.
It was hard to prepare emotionally for what that would be like. I mean, the context, of course, is no one living knew Deputy Nichols. So it caught me off guard how emotional it can still be for someone you never met. There is just such power in standing together, sort of in such a somber, beautiful space.
Beyond that May ceremony, Stemper said there have been several meaningful moments during her research and efforts to recognize Deputy Nichols. One came in the recent months after the memorial application was approved. A community member heard about the deputy's story and offered to use their power washing business to clean off the Nichols family headstones in a Hurdle Mills cemetery. Stemper recounted that Brian Sykes, the family historian and great-grandson of Nichols who lives in Greensboro, visited town for that occasion.
And Brian came to thank him and to be there while they did that. And that morning, he found a photo of Deputy Nichols, his wife, and three of their daughters. So we were even able to submit a photo to the Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund.
When Sykes and Stemper arrived in Washington, D.C. a few weeks ago, they were not expecting to see that very photo used for Nichols' recognition in the National Law Enforcement Museum.
There his face was, right in the middle of this wall. And again, neither one of us ever met the man, but you see it and you just choke up.
Stemper said at the national ceremony and monument, she was struck by the service of such officers like Nichols and how they sometimes trade the good of the community for their own personal safety. But she said the local annual recognition for fallen law enforcement officers 1 week later was equally as powerful. Stemper said standing in the Ralph Pendergrass Memorial Garden with Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Orange County colleagues and hearing Deputy Nichols honored once again also brought powerful emotions to the surface.
You know, now it's like, these are my people in my time, in my space. Whoa. I mean, it had a neat immediacy. It was just a really nice, respectful service.
More history about the life of Sheriff's Deputy Duncan Joseph Nichols can be found on the Orange County Sheriff's Office website. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
And you can head to our website, chapelboro.com, to get even more local news, including the full schedule of events for this month's Pride celebrations in Chapel Hill and Carrboro. Time is 6:21. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by the Sheraton Chapel Hill. Individual honors are still coming in for Tar Heel women's lacrosse stars following their national championship win over the weekend. The Intercollegiate Women's Lacrosse Coaches Association has named Allie Mastroianni as their National Midfielder of the Year and Emma Trenchard as National Defender of the Year. Mastroianni and Trenchard also went high in Tuesday night's Athletes Unlimited Lacrosse Pro Draft. Trenchard went third in the draft, while Mastroianni was chosen eighth. Fellow Tar Heel Jamie Ortega was the second overall pick, and goalie Taylor Moreno went fifth. The league will play at USA Lacrosse headquarters in Maryland in July and August. In baseball, a big win last night at home for the Durham Bulls, 17-4 over the Nashville Sounds. That six-game series is tied at one game apiece. They're back in action tonight at 6:35. And, of course, the UNC baseball team is getting ready for the NCAA tournament, which gets underway for them tomorrow. Barely a month ago, Carolina was on the NCAA bubble, but they have since won 15 of their last 17, including a Cinderella run to the ACC title last week. Now they're the number 10 overall seed in the nation, hosting regional action this week with Georgia, VCU, and Hofstra all coming to town. Head coach Scott Forbes on how the Tar Heels turned it around.
So we just talked about being more fundamentally sound, trying to be a little bit tougher, but also using that adversity to help us and understand that, you know, baseball is a momentum-based game. And if you get hot down the stretch, all that adversity and all those tough losses will only help you. And you can tell those guys took that to heart, and they kept believing, because a lot of people didn't keep believing. But we also talked about our basketball team. Coach Davis and I go way back, and he's a good friend of mine. And just about, okay, you know, when y'all were going through that tough stretch, what did you do? And he just kept saying, I remind the guys to keep their eyes forward, eliminate the distractions. Don't get on social media. Don't listen to what all the naysayers are saying. What we are saying is what is most important. And you got to give those guys credit, because that's phenomenal leadership in our locker room to get where we are today.
That's head coach Scott Forbes speaking there. Carolina's NCAA tournament run gets underway tomorrow as the Tar Heels host Hofstra at 2 p.m. We'll have the game for you right here on 97.9 The Hill.